worshiping God with our singing this evening. I want to just give a short message titled, Sing Unto the Lord. Well, this is an important opportunity for us this evening to worship God through song. We as God's people are exhorted to praise God in singing. For example, in Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, we read, Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Now, various religions may have their chants and their mantras and their ecstatic shouts, but only the Christian faith employs singing that is sweet to the ears of the triune God. Of course, music has been around for a very long time, ever since the beginning of the ages. We read of Jubal in Genesis chapter 4. He was one of Cain's descendants who was the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. People have found pleasure and delight in music. Some of it is good, much of it is bad. You think of the modern pop and rock industry. It's often accompanied with heavy drinking and drugs. Sadly, much of the lyrics is sexual, sometimes dark and even perverse. So there may not be much good that comes from modern pop and rock industry. But then you of course have great musical composers who write pieces that are able to move the soul and thrill the heart through the music that they write. Whether good or bad, music can have a powerful effect on our souls. Now God, who has made the ear to hear sounds and the heart to be moved through music, wants His people to be a singing people, a people who employ music to worship Him in song and praise. And so this evening, we remind ourselves of the importance of singing. And I want us just to think about two questions this evening. First one is, why ought we to sing to the Lord? First reason, sing because God commands us to sing. Again, allow me to mention just a few texts of Scripture to underline this point. There's a whole number of psalms that we might turn to, but here's just a couple. In Psalm 46 and verse 6 to 7, we read, Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Psalm 68 and verse 4, we read this, Sing to God, sing praises to His name, lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exult before Him. We sang Psalm 98 verse earlier on, but the first verse says, Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. You come to the New Testament and the Apostle Paul reminds us to sing and to make melody to the Lord in our hearts. Here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, we read this, that we are not to be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And there's a similar verse in Colossians 3 verse 16. But it's clear from these and many other scriptures of the importance of singing for the Christian, for the believer. God wants us to be a people who praise Him in song, who thank Him from the bottom of our hearts. Now, one of the ways in which people identify the Christian is that he or she sings worshipful songs. We must be known as a people who love to sing praises to our God. And why? Because God has commanded this of us. And as we think about God, who is like Him? He is great and greatly to be praised. He is the Almighty. He is the sovereign creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who was and is to come. He is the immortal, eternal, and invisible God. He is the one who upholds all things with His powerful hand. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being. Apart from Him, we would not exist. He brought us into this world. He has ordained the number of days for us on the earth, and He commands us to worship Him in song as our sovereign Lord and King. And so, shall we not humble ourselves before Him and employ our tongues to declare His praise? Think of David, who was summoned by King Saul to play music on a lyre to refresh his spirit. And David obeyed. We know the temperament of Saul. He was not a very nice man, was he? He was self-seeking. He was volatile. He was rebellious to the Lord. So he's not the kind of king that one would easily want to serve. But David did, and he did so willingly. He did so with much respect. He served Saul with his musical gift. Well, how much more should we serve our God, who is great and glorious and perfect and wonderful, through the gift of song? How good God is, how gracious, how merciful, how holy, how blessed He is. And who is like Him? Who can compare to His glory and splendor? How righteous He is. And so do we not have all the more reason to come and worship Him in song? So sing to God. Sing to Him, because God commands us to sing. Is that one hymn that says, "Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise." There's nothing like worshiping God in song, using our lips to praise and our tongues to praise His name. But second reason why we ought to sing, we must sing because we as Christians have been redeemed. What was the first thing that Israel did after God had delivered them from the Egyptians? Remember how God had led them through the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army had been sunk beneath the Red Sea. The people of Israel had been delivered. The first thing that they do after this, we read in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang the song to the Lord, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation.'" They sang. They had been redeemed. They had been delivered from slavery and certain death. God had rescued them. God had defeated the most powerful enemy in the then known world in the process. And just so, when we think of our redemption as God's people, shall we not sing? Think of our enemies, mighty and powerful enemies. Who can free themselves from a sinful heart? Who can rescue a person from the power of death? What about the flames of eternal judgment? Who has the key to unlock the gates of Hades and death? There is none but Jesus. And who is Jesus? Well, He is the Son of God. He came from glory. He entered into our world to fight against the powers of darkness. And He was great in battle. He suffered blow upon blow from the enemies, temptations of the worst kind, the evil and wickedness of men. The powers of darkness did everything they could to destroy Him. The grave itself seeking to close over Him forever. But our enemies failed to defeat Him. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He overcame all temptation. He was found to be without sin, without spot or blemish. And He laid down His life for sinners on the cross. He yielded His life to atone for sin, not His own. And then He rose triumphantly from the grave, signaling His victory over the enemies of our souls. And so all who look to Him, all who believe in Him, are forgiven. They are justified. They are reconciled to God. They are given the gift of eternal life. Sin can no longer condemn those who are in Christ. Death cannot keep them in the grave. Hell has no claim on them. They are forever Christ's and forever God's, held in His everlasting arms of love. And surely, if we have been redeemed from such great enemies to us all, surely if we have such a great Savior in Jesus Christ who shed His blood for us, shall we not lift up our voices with songs of praise? Shall we not join in that heavenly praise anthem? "Behold the Lamb, worthy the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." My friends, if your heart is not stirred with love and devotion to Christ for His redeeming love, perhaps it is that you don't know anything of His love. Perhaps it is that you need to be saved from your sin. I remember before I was converted, before I was saved, I had no love for Christ. I went to church every Sunday because my parents expected me to go to church. And I was there in the congregation. And when the congregation sang, I mumbled along. if at all. It really meant nothing to me. But after the Lord, in His grace and mercy, delivered me from my sin, opened my eyes to see the wonderful, glorious Savior in Jesus Christ, I could not help but sing with joy. And there were a number of songs that meant so much to me at that time, just after I was saved. Sang one of them this morning. I knew a different tune then, but "Thee Will I Love, My Joy, My Strength, My Tower. Thee Will I Love." Other songs like "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, Come Unto Me and Rest. Oh, Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go." Singing those songs, the words became beautiful and meaningful to me. And this ought to be the testimony of every child of God, that as we sing these songs of praise, it touches your heart. It means something to you. You know that this is my God who has loved me and saved me and delivered me from my sin and made me His own. And so singing becomes a joy for the believer. So let us sing then as God's people, because we have been redeemed, because we are destined for glory. And if you cannot sing with joy, then seek God for His grace and mercy even tonight, because He's a gracious and a forgiving God. And you too will be able to sing songs of praise with joy in your heart as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But the third reason why we must sing is sing for your own soul's sake. And if you thought about that, sing for your own soul's sake. Singing is a means through which God ministers to our souls. We exhorted in James 5 verse 13 that when we are cheerful, we ought to sing. You read many of the Psalms and they were put to music. There's some Psalms that deal with the soul that is downcast and troubled, and such songs could be sung to bring comfort to the soul. Psalms could be sung as a lament, mourning when there's a seeming absence of God's presence. But there are other Psalms that comfort us and lift up our heart, and that great Psalm, Psalm 23, which is so often sung in times of great sadness and sorrow. What a comfort they are. Other hymns there might be which you find comfort in. You come to church and your soul is weighed down, and perhaps there's a hymn or song, "Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side." Or "When peace like a river attends the way." Or "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." And as you sing these songs, the doubts and fears of your heart are vanquished through such singing. At other times we might be moved and filled with joy in singing songs extolling the greatness and the grace of our God and Father. There's been those moments in singing when you might feel just a desire to dedicate yourself afresh to the Lord. Perhaps your love has been growing dim, and as you sing, love for Christ begins to be fanned into flame, greater devotion for Him. And so we need to learn to sing, because it ministers to our own soul. Those Christian songs, those beautiful songs that are rich in good solid doctrine, are certainly a help and encouragement to us. I don't know if you're going through a trial right now. Maybe you are. Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Why not sing? Maybe just a verse that you might know off by heart from one of the hymns. But as you're driving in the car, perhaps a chorus. You mustn't dismiss choruses. There's some lovely choruses that are very God-centered and Christ-exalting, and they're easy to memorize. And it could be that you're just driving in the car, maybe cleaning the kitchen. Maybe you can use the media too to play these hymns and songs. Perhaps sitting alone in a quiet place, and through singing, you'll find great relief for your soul. Don't underestimate the power of God's grace at work through songs. You think of Paul and Silas, who were there in that Philippian jail. They'd been beaten. Their feet were in stocks. They were in that inner dungeon, dark and damp and dreary. Do you know what they did? They sang praises to God. And with that, they brought heaven, as it were, into that dingy, dark, stinky dungeon. They brought heaven into that place. It's no wonder that God sent an earthquake and the doors just came off the hinges, and God was saying, "I'm here with you." And He was glorified through that singing, that praise, and that worship. The point that I'm trying to make here is that God ministers to us through songs. Now, for sure, we must never allow singing to overshadow and minimize the preaching of the word in corporate worship. That sometimes happens. We see it in certain churches that you hardly hear any exposition from the word. The whole thing is about singing, and we must be careful of allowing that to happen. The church itself, it cannot survive without the faithful preaching of the word. It might, for a season, have to forego corporate singing, which we saw during COVID, which was really horrible. But the church cannot survive without the preaching of God's word. So we can't allow singing to push out the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word is central. Nevertheless, the point that I'm trying to emphasize this evening is that we must find great delight and joy in singing because God ministers to us through song. But then the second question that I want us to think about this evening and last question is, how ought we to sing to the Lord? Well, first of all, mindfully, thoughtfully. We need to think upon the words that we sing. God's word places so much emphasis upon our mind, not on our feelings, which again is what you see, sadly, the emphasis in many churches where the focus is on the music and the band and the display of lights and all to create this feel-good vibe. But in Scripture, we see that God focuses our attention upon our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to think about the words that we sing. And that means that the very songs that we choose and that we sing need to be doctrinally sound and correct. They should glorify God. They should exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. They should focus on God's redeeming love for us, His care for us as His people. A song that is rich in the truth of God's word, that is good and that has a good melody and tune to it, will move our souls. It will delight the heart. So sing mindfully. God expects us to use our minds as we sing, not to park them when we come to worship and go mindlessly through the various elements of worship. But then secondly, sing wholeheartedly. We must stir up our hearts and souls to praise God. I wonder whether we might even say a short prayer before we come to corporate worship of the Lord, just preparing our hearts to praise Him in song, to humble ourselves before Him as we hear the word speaking. We ought to prepare our hearts and come to worship God as David did in Psalm 103 verse 1. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." What this means is that we must sing wholeheartedly, lifting up our voice, telling God through song how much we love Him. We ought to sing wholeheartedly. I'm sure that you've been in groups of people where the singing has been poor and all but lifeless. I certainly remember my high school days. I know that you might go to some schools where the singing is taken very seriously, but certainly in my high school, it wasn't cool to sing. And so when it came to those athletic events, you hardly heard anybody sing. It was rather pathetic. But then you've been in other groups of people. Maybe you've had the privilege of being in a school where the singing has been of an outstanding nature and they've sung wholeheartedly. You think of the singing that there might be at a rugby match. And there's this pride in the team. And they want to sing as loudly as possible. Well, we as God's people ought to be so proud of our God. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. God is great and glorious. He's resplendent and magnificent. And we need to tell the world how much we love Him through our singing. We need to sing wholeheartedly. It does not matter if you do not have the tongue of an angel. Some of us maybe wish we had a better ability when it comes to music and singing. It doesn't matter. If you're singing wholeheartedly to the Lord and meaning what you say, that singing is sweet to God. It brings Him glory and honor. So sing wholeheartedly to the Lord. Sing thoughtfully, sing wholeheartedly. Well, as I come to a conclusion, let us be a people who sing and worship the Lord with gladness. And so let me exhort you this evening to pray that your heart would be filled with songs of joy. God commands us to sing. He has redeemed us in order to sing. We, like a bird that has been set free from captivity in a cage, we have been set free from captivity to sin. And so then let us soar like a bird, as it were, flying high, praising God for who He is. Let us fix our eyes upon the triune God, great and glorious, and give Him the praise that is due to His name. And let me also encourage you to make singing part of your daily life. Even preparing this, I thought of the importance of just trying to, sometime in the day, perhaps singing a chorus or two or a verse that I might know. But what a difference that will make, just to be able to worship God in song, to make melody in your heart, to express thanksgiving to God through songs of praise. And parents, let me ask you this, do you sing songs to your little children, especially when you're putting them to bed? You can sing choruses that you may know, simple choruses, whether it be songs like "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," "He is Lord," "Jesus Loves the Little Children," "All the Children of the World," or "Wide, Wide as the Ocean." Do you remember, parents, those songs? Or maybe you are singing them to your children. "The Love of Jesus is So Wonderful." We used to sing songs to our children when they were small and we had to put them to bed. It's just such a blessing. They're comforted by these songs. And you never know how God is ministering through those songs to your children. But what about those who are still outside of Christ this evening? You know that you're not saved. Your heart can't echo joy and praise and love for this God whom I've been speaking about this evening. You need to come to Christ tonight. You need your tongue liberated from sin, where you talk perhaps all about yourself, or maybe it's used for cursing and swearing like it was used in my life before I was saved. You need to come to Christ that He might liberate you from your sin, set you free, that you can not only speak of His love, but sing of His love toward you through the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, may God enable us all to know the joy of singing His great and glorious name, and especially of singing of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In the words of Charles Wesley, who wrote, "Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." Oh, that we may all know that and sing to the worship of our triune God. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank You for the gift of singing. And there's nothing greater than to be able to worship You in song, to use our tongues and to think of Your redeeming love, and to speak of Christ our Lord and Savior, and to worship You in song. And Father, we pray that even this evening You may fill our hearts with joy as we think of You, and that we would be a singing people, a people who praise Your name and worship You, people who are thankful and go about our daily duties rejoicing in You, our Lord and our God. And if there be anyone here who doesn't know You, Lord, convict them of the need to get right with You, convict them of their sin, help them to see that in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of sin, that Jesus has the power to set them free from their sin and to bring them to Himself and to make them Your own. Lord, may they call upon Your name and be saved. But even as we continue to worship You now in song, may You be glorified. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. But just before I give the benediction, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you to our musicians. And I know whether they were playing, using their talents there, or you were bringing your voice, what a wonderful evening we've had together, just worshiping God in song. So thank you for being here. It's been such a joy and a blessing. And do, as I said, stay for something, a cup of tea or coffee and something to eat afterwards. But let me just close with the benediction, and after that, I'll hand over to the music team to give the final ensemble. So let's just close in prayer. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."